Welcome to the Wisconsin Wrestler Podcast with your co-hosts Teague Fenwick and Steve Lurkwick.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Wisconsin Wrestler Podcast, powered by WI Wrestle. I'm your host, Teague Fenwick, coming to you from Holman. Joining me, as always, from Fort Atkinson, is Steve Lurkwin. Sorry, I almost said your old name there, your old town name.
Oh, I thought you meant my old name. Like, what, my maiden name, or what are you talking about?
Man, well, Steve, great to be here.
Hey, excited to be here. This is Teague. We were just talking before our guests came on, everything. We're like, you know, we've had a little bit of time away, and we're already talking about sectional previews next year. I'm already talking about making our team shout outs. I think the itch is back already, even though we're not even completed with our, you know, our four timers and state championship coaches. My mind's already starting to rock and roll for next year, but it's fun. Just fun time to be a Wisconsin wrestling fan.
We had some people push for a little freestyle Greco state episode. If there's brackets, that could be tempting beforehand. Otherwise, you know, maybe we could hop on and talk results, get our little Freco episode in for the spring. But Steve, we've hit a pretty good pattern here the last 4 years. It's mid-April. The sun is shining. The lawns are mowed. The birds are chirping. The Brewers are playing on Wednesday night. And for the fourth year in a row, we have Kekana coach Jeff Mochick on. Coach, pumped to have you on again.
Thanks. Thanks for inviting me. It's good. I love talking to you guys.
Jeff, how soon after you guys win team state do you think about the fact that, yes, this adds to my recurring guest status for the show?
That's the first thing. It's the first thing I think of. It's the first thing. In fact, it's part of my pregame speech.
Love
guys,
that.
Listen, forget your parents. Forget all the hard work you've done. I want to be on that podcast again.
Do it for me. Do it for me. That's right.
Well, Jeff, I'm excited for this year to talk about this year because I think this is the year, aside from 2 years ago, where you guys lost the most starters coming into the year, which made for a lot of fun conversation in the preseason. But you and I had a pretty good chat during team state this year where I said, man, Jeff, if it happened 4 years in a row, what questions are we going to have for you? And I think one of the favorite things you've ever said to me, you said, no, there's going to be a lot to talk about with the group this year. So I'm really excited to get into it. But Jeff, Steve has had a lot of time to prepare for trivia. So he has like six questions planned for us. So before we hop into the season, Steve's going to hit us with round one of trivia here.
All right. Well, I got five. I have six questions. The first one's more of a question slash cool story that I think will get things. I guess we've talked about your knuckleball, right? I mean, I've scoured the earth trying to find out unique things about Jeff, and it's been pretty hard. But I think I found one, Coach, that I think you're going to be floored. So, first question here, Teague, and I know you're not going to get the answer, and I'll let Jeff answer it once you don't get it, but then that'll lead me into the story that I'm about ready to say is 1992-3, Jeff, if I'm looking at it correct, was your first year as a head coach, right? You're a co-head coach with Steve.
Correct.
And yep. Teague, who was Coach Mochick's? This is going to floor people on here. In that year, Kekana only had one state qualifier. Teague, who was it?
In 1993. I just want to assume it starts with like a Van or Vanden or something along those lines.
Jason Motter, right? So Jason Motter, from what I can tell, I stopped taking notes after he made the semis. Coach, how did he do that year?
He did. He came in with like, he finished 19-7 that year, I think. And it was something like that. So you got to imagine what his record was coming into regionals. And because I don't think he won 20, and there were some injuries and things like that. And he beat Chad Kovacs, I think, of Fond du Lac in the sectional semis, who he never beat. There was never a, and I think that's who it was. But that was the match. He had to win that match to get in. So he went in, I think, you know, he wasn't a sectional champ, but that was his guy to beat that there wasn't another wrestler that was going to beat Chad coming through the other side. Got his way in, and then he had a weeks of Merrill in the first round, and we know that name, and he beat him. And then he had a Depees, yep, however you say it, of Rapids, who was ranked top two in the state in the quarters. He beat him. I think he lost to a kid from Sparta in a really close match in the semis. And then maybe he beat the Sparta kid in the who did he lose to in the semis? Home.
It would have been Pusick, Wozley, or Wozley.
Wozley. He lost to Wozley, and then he beat a Sparta kid, I think, in the third place match. It was pretty good, I believe. So it was just
from an Holton unbelievable team, by the way.
From a kid that came in with probably, you know, a whatever in six record into sectionals. And, to win three matches at the state tournament, there wasn't a semi-slide opportunity for him. Thankfully, back then, he got his way to the semis, but then he validated it by winning his third place match. So he had a fireman's carry, which was my move. He was a farm kid, just like me. The farm is about a mile up the road from our current high. In fact, it's not even a mile. It's about a half mile up where he grew up with his family. And in fact, the whole subdivision across the street from our new high school right now is Modder family land. It was cornfields and oats. And they probably did pretty well with that sale after they sold the farm. So that's a little bit about that kid.
Well, it's going to take you into this next kid here. So Teague, true or false? And the answer to this one is true. So just go ahead and say it once I'm done. Did Coach Maciek ever make a bet or slash promise with his team that if they qualified for state qualifiers, he would shave his head?
True.
True. Yep. And here's the story, and I'll let Coach take it away. So I'm assuming it's Jason Motter's brother, Ben, was the fourth one to qualify. He won his wrestle back, and immediately after, he looked to Coach and made the little swipe over his head. And story is Coach, is that when you shaved your head, the hair never grew back.
Never grew back. Look what they did to me. Yeah, that was in 1994. And Kakana, you know, had a history of taking, you know, one, two, or three kids to state. But it was like, let's get over the hump. Let's get four. And, you know, and that number grew. But, yeah. And that, and Ben was just like his older brother, Jason, the year before. He didn't place at the state tournament, but it was like, man, if you would have watched him wrestle through the year, how did he make it? He just found a way and found a weight class that gave him an opportunity and beat some kids. So, yep. And then Ross Bookinger was second in the state that year, made it to the state finals. And then we had some other good kids. So it's pretty cool.
That was that's 10 out of 10 trivia there. And then Jeff supplementing it. That was some good fun stuff. Oh, yeah.
Not true trivia. I mean, my five real questions are coming. I just thought those were those are pretty cool stories to get things started off.
That was a great starter. I was thinking when you talk about Jeff shaving, it's like the Seinfeld episode where they talk about male pattern baldness and the guy shaves his head and it doesn't come back. But yeah.
Man, I had a rock star head of hair before that. Oh, it looked, man, it was beautiful. The hairline and everything. And it just never came back after that, but it's been all right.
A word of warning for myself now that I'm back in coaching, not to make hair bets.
Don't make that bet.
Well, the funny thing is they didn't shave it. This was Sunday night, was our banquet. So I sat down in the chair and they all the seniors, there were about six or seven of them. They each took a clippers and they all got to take a swipe and they all took from when I was done, it wasn't like they shaved my head. I had tufts of hair all over. Like they just took swipes out, you know, strips. I went to school the next day. I went Monday to school with that ugly hair and taught my classes and then went home and then shaved the rest of it off. And it grew back. And I probably 10 years later decided I like that look. So
there you go.
Went with that.
Love it. I know the fact that you kept the Tuft was amazing on Monday. I'm sure the kids at school were all overjoyed too.
It was ugly, but what the heck?
Yep.
So, Jeff, I don't think we asked you this last year because it was a pretty big crop of kids coming back. But with six returners this year, when did you first get the thought that this year's group could be team state champions?
Just as you saw them throughout the summer growing and working, you know, because that's the key. You have to fill 14 weights with, you'd like to get your 14 best wrestlers in, and you rarely do that. There's always a couple of doubled up kids, and then you're filling in another spot somewhere. But we saw how Brady Sprangers was going to jump over Liam, and then, you know, and right away, you know, you know what the weight classes are kind of going to be, but then in June, you know, you find out what they're going to be. And they helped us actually this year a little bit with that jump and having that 57 pounder in there. Like, that was a pretty good weight class for Peyton Lee. Could he have made 52 or 50? Absolutely. And, you know, he tested for it, but he was really comfortable, always, you know, hovering around 157 all year. And then you had a kid like Colin DeGroote, who was a 138 pound JV the year before, just move up to 150. And again, he could have probably made 44 as well. But, you know, then you're swapping around there. So everybody kind of just kind of fell in line there. And that's really the key is, you know, they're good wrestlers. They're working on wrestling. They're training on weights. And then you see them write some things down and say some things, and then you say some things back to them when they're not toeing the line on certain things. And you know what a state championship team looks like. And if they're not, then you give them a hard talk. And then all of a sudden you see behavior changes and them getting on each other about some things. And, you know, it's, you said it, I didn't say it. You know, you want, this is something you want. I'm just, if you want me to be honest and tell you what it's going to take, I'm going to tell you what it's going to take, and not anything more, not anything less. This is what it's going to take. And so they, you know, as the season neared, then you got to get into some competitions and you think, okay, we're going to be pretty good. And then, you know, they start doing pretty well. And we were facing some decent teams early in the year that were going to be in our way, and teams that were from around the state, and they're going with them, you know, and they're placing in tournaments and doing some things. So it just, the expectations started growing as we got into through December.
Yeah, I'd say they grew up pretty rapidly the way that you guys went into the Howard Manley duels. And I don't have the exact scores up right now, but you end up placing first there by a pretty dominant performance. And I also got to say of note before we get too far away from the preseason, Steve, second episode in a row where we have a champion that you picked against at some point this year.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, you know, I just, in case Jeff didn't listen to the sectional preview episode, I just wanted to throw it out there.
You bet.
I probably would have picked, you know, there's a lot of ways you could have gone, you know, with a lot of these teams this year. And if you go,
I mean, it was, and we'll talk about it once we get more to the postseason, but it was a pretty stacked sectional coming in. And yeah, it really goes to show, I'm glad you brought up the work that the guys did in the off season and how they stepped up as leaders. Cause I mean, it is what you guys needed this year. It wasn't a time to get complacent. So for everyone to step up, you guys get first, and we talk about, you know, quote unquote growing pains. You guys get first at Howard Manley, and then you get second at the Husky invite behind only Simley. And how long did it take? Did you guys have a tournament where the youth of your team kind of showed, or is it kind of like every wrestling tournament where some guys maybe kind of had a rough tournament here and there, or what? Like, did you ever have a total team effort, I guess, where it's like, oh, we got to figure things out as a whole?
Well, we scrimmaged against Wrightstown and Pulaski early in the year, you know, and Pulaski we figured was going to be that sectional team. They could, on given years, they're going to be in a sectional final, maybe even qualifying for team state over the years, and them and Bayport go back and forth. And then, you know, and Wrightstown has kids, and you see your kids wrestling, you see all these guys wrestling DeRocher and how they're, we know how good he is, and then how they, how they compete against him, and they're doing, you know, doing some things. And so it comes early, and then we wrestled right off the bat. It wasn't a tournament. It was, okay, we wrestle Oshkosh West first duel, and Oshkosh West was a sectional team last year that lost very few guys, and they got, you know, they have these guys coming back, and you know, upper weights, and then our kids go out and they really put it on them, and you see Nehemiah going out there against a, you know, returning state qualifier and taking him into overtime and say, okay, you're 60 matches you wrestled in the off season. I think you won 30 of them. But you know, now you're at all of that competitive anger of losing 30 of them is starting to make you into something better than what people might've expected. So we're going to have a guy there if we can handle the losses and how we bring it back to practice. So, you know, it was early there. And then, like you said, it led into wrestling, you know, teams like Prairie du Chien and Beaver Dam and some of those teams that had a lot of talent on and how we competed. And then you had Hortonville. And, you know, we were second the year before with a really good state champion team, the Simley. And Simley, they reloaded with a bunch of lightweights and, you know, so it was us and them. And then you had your Arrowhead and Rapids was an addition there. And we knew what they were going to be this year, like they were coming loaded. And so, you know, they were missing some guys at Eau Claire, but still in the head-to-head matchups, we saw them a bunch of head-to-head times. And we felt that, okay, we can be in a duel with that team and we can beat them. But we got to put that on the back burner because, you know, we've got to, can't, you know, address that too much, but it gives you some confidence knowing, you know, going back into your training of what you can be. So I think all along there wasn't a great, unbelievable eye popping, you know, like some epiphany. It was just, everything just kind of went along right through the cheesehead and everything else.
So this year you guys did not go to the Christmas tournament in Rochester. So first question for you there, just wondering the rationale behind not doing that one.
And that's really easy. You know, I sent some messages to the guys there because we went there 10 years in a row and we, except for the COVID year. And it's like, okay, so 13 weight classes to 14 weight classes. And that means that knowing, you know, and this is back in the early fall, seeing where our guys could be, that means either Liam, Peyton, DeGroote or Springer's, one of those guys is staying home. Okay. They're going to go up to the Preble Scramble. So that would have been a disaster. And then secondly, okay, we decide we're going to go Peyton drop to 52 and Liam go to, I don't even know the weight, 60, and Brady's going to drop to 70. All right. Well, at the Manly Duels then and Oshkosh West, they all got to be in light. So they're cutting weight that for those events wrestling up. And then Eau Claire, they'd have to be light for the Eau Claire tournament, which is a good tournament, and you're wrestling rapid, you're wrestling this. So now, you know, Peyton's got to weigh in light, you know, 5 pounds light, whatever, because the next week we're going to Minnesota and they got to drop. And then, well, then the night before Minnesota, we're wrestling, I think, one of the better teams in the state in our conference in Hortonville. And that's on Thursday night. Before you go to Minnesota and weighing in at 10 a.m. So now you're really cutting weight the wrestler. Why don't you just get down for that one? Well, that doesn't match us up the best to beat Hortonville if you want to win the conference and get seeds over them for regional and have some confidence going in. So you take the descent plan. You guys, I think you know how I feel about that. And then into effect. And then you take the fact that we'd have to bump out a state qualifier out of our lineup. Yeah. Go to wrestle in Minnesota. It just wasn't. I was in the coach's room at Eau Claire, and I talked to Will Short, the Simley head coach, and during a break in the action. And we were talking about that. He goes, God, I said, he's like, well, next week we're coming to the Cheesehead, and then we're coming back to Eau Claire to another dual tournament. He goes, like, there's like 3 out of 4 weeks they're coming over to Wisconsin. And he's like, we love coming to Wisconsin. He goes, you know, you got 14 weights. I can get to put another kid in my varsity lineup. And we got guys that need that. So, okay. And then the other thing is, you know, all their guys, they win the Eau Claire tournament. And then the next week they're somewhere and they're all dropped down to another weight class. You know, their kids just went boom in 1 week, and then they go and win that. They come to the Cheesehead. You know, they're popping up and down like every kid does every week in practice, 5-6 pounds here and there, and which makes sense. And it's given more kids the opportunity to wrestle. You're cutting less weight because you don't have to, if you're going to wrestle at this tournament, you don't have to be weighing in light by a tenth of a pound. So I love our 14 weights. I love their lack of a descent plan. And, you know, maybe there's one state out there that gets it all right. That'd be like the utopia of wrestling.
Sure.
But we just can't seem to find it.
Hey, we just need to get out of that descent. I love the Minnesota descent plan, to be honest. It is pristine.
You know, I never thought we could get rid of the descent plan. And I was always medical things are medical things. And but boy, are none of the kids. They finally, after, you know, how many years of, you know, 5 matches a day, can't do it. Kids' hearts will explode. Their lungs will explode. Their heads will explode. And all of a sudden now science says we can do 5 matches in a row all of a sudden, or 6 matches in 1 day. And we don't need 45 minutes to sit around after a bye and a kid gets a, you know, 12 second pin. We don't have to wait 45 minutes. We can wrestle in 30 minutes. Like, all of a sudden the human anatomy changed. So I never thought that the descent plan, once it went in, it would ever change, because, you know, medical experts have their opinion, but they're, you know, they're coming around because they changed these two. And I'll go even furthermore. I'll go back a few years. You know, during the COVID year, we didn't have to get physicals for our high school athletes. WIA waived physicals. They waived the physical. Like, you did not have to go to a doctor. It could have been 2 or 3 years since you had your last physical, obviously, because the hospitals were booked and they just said, hey, no physicals this year. You can just go and wrestle. And I'm like, whoa,
right.
Really? You're not going to, you don't have to get physical. I mean, go get one, be great, but you don't have to because of that. So we can change, we can bend when we want to. So that gave me confidence that maybe the descent plan, wiser minds will prevail and people will say, this is kind of nuts, you know, let's get rid of this thing because it's causing kids to have to drop too much weight. It's causing kids opportunities to wrestle. It's costing our schools money. We can talk about that, how it does. And I'm not stretching it at all because I've seen it. It's just, let's create some flexibility. We have a minimum weight. We weigh our kids in every night. We pull kids when they're struggling with weight. We bump them up. Their doctors can give them a physical and sign a sheet that says when they, you know what, they can go. There's so many ways to probably make it work that we're not micromanaging every time they step on a scale and that type of thing. So let's move on.
You got it. All right. Let's talk about the polar bears for a second before we move on to the second half of the year. But you did already say going into the year, it looked like Hortonville could be one of the toughest competition to get through to team state. And you end up winning 48-17. Now, you as a coach, did you feel pretty pumped up about that after that result, or was it just taking care of business and this could look like a totally different duel at the end of the year? Where was your head at after that duel?
You know, like, if you know Chris Genrich, who I respect a lot, you know, after the match, you know, I just was like, you know, it's going to be a war at the end of the year. Okay. I know it is, because he's such a competitor, and he, you know, brushes it off with, we're not in your league, you know, that type of sentiment. And I go, no, you got a hell of a team. You know it. And we aren't going to see you until the Pulaski tournament in late January. And we knew weights were going to change and things, you know, they did a major drop at the end of the year to cover 113. Actually, they, you know, getting Ellerman down to 20 and Bodig down to 26. So that changed a lot, getting Bodig off of Peters and really able to, you know, do some things. So, you know, but they, they were very formidable at the end. As you know, when we get to regionals, we'll see how that was. You know, it was neck and neck to the end. Thank goodness they take two teams out of regionals now, because that, you know, they needed an op. That was a good dual meet team. They needed an opportunity to prove it. And it was a good, it was a, I knew the score was out there. We had, if there were things that happened, like I can't look at a match and say, boy, we got screwed that match, or we really blew that match away. You know, we, everything happened really well for us in that duel. We won a lot of the close ones, and a lot of flip matches could have gone the other way. So, and I'm not sure if they had everybody. I think they had their guys, but a lot of the tight ones went our way. And then there was their shift on their team at the end that gained them some points as well.
You guys ended with a fun one there. Sprangers, the 5-4 sudden victory win over Needham.
Yeah. Well, we were up by 1-4-3 and got called for stalling. We kind of rolled them out of bounds, and Steve was star. I'll throw names out there. Was the official the best? I text him and I talked to him the next day, and I was like, oh, you know, I can battle. And he's like, that's what I saw. I said, hey, you got it. You know, and then what happened, how we won that match was then, who are we? I lost the name of the Hortonville 175.
170. Oh, Needham.
Needham. I'm saying Ellerman. I get them all confused. Needham gets in on a double. Okay. And we were rolling him a lot that match. In fact, we rolled him and kind of funked a takedown on him, but he got us up off the ground and we're trying to roll, and he took us, he got kind of an airborne and he right on our back. I mean, it wasn't an intentional slam, but we were airborne and clumped it. And then he called the slam there for 1 point. And, wow. And they kind of scrambled out of it and blew the whistle. So we're like, there's another one right there. Now Brady can beat him at Pulaski. He beat him at the conference tournament. He ended up beating him the next two times. And then he ended up going up to 190. Brady stayed down and making it to state that he at 90. But which was a pretty good move for them too. But there was a match that, like, at that time, like, he had a lot of scoring opportunities on us, we got, you know, the match was put into overtime by a stalling call in the last 5 seconds. And then we got that. So it was an emotional, crazy match.
So Jeff, jump into the second half of the year. I was going to ask you too, with it, Hortonville definitely helped the situation, but with there being no tournament that third weekend, and I think I'm just speaking from my brain here, because I was very competition motivated as a kid. Maybe that's why I was just a 4-time regional qualifier. But was there any kids that kind of got antsy to compete at some point during that competition gap that you had? And I know you usually take the holiday break off, but.
You're talking between the holidays?
Yeah, because you didn't have a tournament during the Christmas tournament weekend. So it just, yes. Yeah, it added, yeah, another off week, essentially.
Yeah, and that was pretty close. So that was the Minnesota Christmas tournament. And I'm trying to think. Yeah, we went that first week and the second. And no, because Liam had knee surgery. And so we, you know, that timed out. Now, the big thing there was he missed the Cheesehead, and that probably cost us a place or two in the standings, maybe a trophy, way it ended out. But, you know, we had him for the Hortonville duel, and he was able to wrestle. It was just how long was he going to wrestle and not get this done, and if it could be 5 or 6 or whatever weeks it was going to be pretty clean to go in and clean it up. So that ended up being pretty good. He missed the Appleton North duel, and which we had right before Christmas, and we didn't go to Minnesota. And, you know, he's, well, I'm going to push it back for the Cheesehead. No, you're not going to do that. And then we had the snowstorm in January, where we would go down to the Badger Scramble in that snowstorm, which he would have missed that one too. But then he was kind of targeted to be back in mid to late January, and everything was going really well. So we got into a tournament the week after Sheboygan North, they expanded that tournament from 16 mm-hmm. to like 30 teams and got doubled their mats, got more officials, and he was able to go get a few matches there. But, you know, as Rusty, he had maybe a week to 10 days of practice, you know, from just little by little by little by little to getting a few days alive, and everything was checked out and going into the doctors there. So that was, you know, having those 2 weeks off certainly didn't help, considering you're losing, you know, one of your best kids during that time.
I was actually I'm glad you brought up Liam, because the last 3 years, I think one of the big things he said was one of the best things we have going for us is availability. Because I can't think of the last time, how many times in the last 4 years where you had one of your starters miss a tournament. So it was, yeah, that was maybe not a newer experience for you considering how long you've been in the game for. But, yeah, like you said, seems like that off week ended up kind of paying off a little bit there. But, yeah, the snowstorm, I'll tell you what, I know how much I love wrestling, but that weekend just really was another reminder. I was like, dang. Yeah. As much of a grind as going to a Saturday tournament, really sucks that I'm at home right now looking at the results of three tournaments.
Yeah, absolutely.
Steve, before we start getting closer to the postseason stuff, do you have like breakable up trivia, or is it all going to come at once?
You know what? I'm enjoying listening, so why don't we just do all five at the end? How's that sound?
You got, Jeff's rolling right now. So, Jeff, we're gonna keep going with this. If you want to talk about the Cheesehead, go for it. We'll let you take the floor until we get to the postseason, and then maybe we'll throw some questions at you.
Yeah, Cheesehead was good. We wrestled pretty well. You know, sometimes you go 500 or a little over in that, and you're licking your wounds if you're a program that is used to, you know, going into even good tournaments and, you know, winning 60 or 70% of your matches. And so, you know, you gotta deal with the egos, but we're pretty used to that. We're the only team that's wrestled in all of the Cheeseheads that were ever. And it's a different tournament from, let's say, even the Ironman, you know, the toughest tournament in the country. You know, you're only going to get your ass kicked twice, and then you know, I guess you could third if you take seventh, eighth place. But, you know, there's only two tough moments where at the Cheesehead, there can be one, two, three, four in a row, and you can be a really good wrestler, you know, a state qualifier that takes those multiple losses in a row. So we had, you know, we got through that, but our kids did really well. And then you see the injury defaults that go on there year after year after year. There's just so many kids. There's things that happen. So that's the second thing, you know, as you you come out of there clean and, you know, you don't have to pull anybody and miss them for any time, because it does get very, very it wears on you a little bit. But, no, it was a good performance. Finished pretty well, and the teams were fantastic, and everything ran great in good weather. You know, we went to Sheboygan and had a good tournament. Saw somebody, it's a big tournament, you know, and you say, well, you know, there weren't great teams there. Well, there were great individuals there, you know, mm-hmm. great individuals there. And there were good teams there too, but, you know, everybody was going to get pushed. You know, Coleman was there, and they were a state qualifying team. So, so you still had the good teams there, but you, when you have 30 schools and there are a lot of big schools and a mixture of some of the smaller schools, you end up getting, you know, great matchups for all your kids at some point. So, real happy with that. And the big thing, my brother's a principal there, and so that had nothing to do with it at all. He called me and said, yeah, and he was working one of the tables, you know, because, they needed people to work tables. You know, he's a former wrestling coach, but, the big thing, I said, John, you know, that was the Packer, San Fran game. Okay. And, like that started at, I think it was a 7 o'clock kickoff, maybe, because it was on the West Coast. So it would have been 5 o'clock there and 8 o'clock on the East Coast. So, and I said, we, you know, we're an hour and you're running this big tournament. You're not like, I'm going to be home. And he goes, we will be done at 4:30, 5 o'clock. If you got an hour bus ride, and we did, I was, I had the kids out of the school at 6:30. I was in front of my television watching that painful game happen. We do that to ourselves. And it was a great game and we played well. It wasn't an Atlanta type of game a few years ago where we just got killed, but it was a good game. And, you know, they got it done. So I remember that. And, Pulaski was good. Luxembourg, you know, was really good. I was surprised. I just, you know, we had the lead throughout the day, and it's one of those tournaments where you go and you say, well, you win these three matches that we peed away, you're winning the tournament. But, you know, they're saying the same thing. They win all the matches they possibly could have. And we pulled out a lot of matches too. So finishing 7 points, you know, 258, 251, something like that. We kind of maxed out there. You know, it was in that tournament, it was really good. And, you know, we were looking at, you know, Bayport and Hortonville and Pulaski, you know, the three teams that in 2.5 weeks that we were going to see in a dual meet, we're matching up with some of their kids, especially, you know, we knew Bayport had beaten Pulaski in a duel. So they were a little more there, a little more firepower. So our kids are matching up with them in a few spots of, you know, heavyweight, 150, 175. You know, we're seeing those guys that as we look at that duel, like, these are probably swing matches. We don't know. Like, there's some predictable things that are going to happen between the two teams at a lot of weights, but you pick out those five that could be swings. And, you know, we won three of those, you know, three that we thought were okay, pretty good. Now they turned around 150 in the dual meet later on, but, you know, it just got to gauge where you're at and how you're going to do against these teams. And they had a guy or two out too. So they were down in the standings, and we knew that wasn't Bayport's team. They were missing a few guys, and, you know, we were pretty good there. So, with all of our guys. So, but again, you got to see some matchups. So we were pretty happy with that. And that kind of leads us right into the conference tournament. We took care of business there. And,
you know, I was going to say, do we need to talk about conference since we're talking about regionals the week after?
Well, right.
We had pretty comfortable there, you know, and Wyatt didn't wrestle in the finals against Lucas. You know, he was coming back from his injury. So, you know, you're getting, you know, he didn't wrestle in that tournament at all because he got hurt at Pulaski in like the quarters or semis. So he medical forfeited out of that tournament. And so he did not even wrestle in the conference tournament, period. So you're giving up 20 points right there. And so that's a big one. And, you know, so we kind of won that one with some room to spare the conference. But again, you know what, well, they're going to bring him back. And then, you know, at regionals, they moved their 175 pounder. They moved Needham. They move him up to 90. And so to get him away from Springers, now, could he beat Springers? I suppose. But, you know, if you can move up to a weight class and win that and gain more points. And I think they moved their 65 pounder up to 75, and he took third place right behind, you know, it was Stoffel, Springers, and then their 65 pounder, I think, was third. And, you know, so, or a 57 pounder, I'm sorry. They moved over, they took their 57, put them all the way up to 75. And he wasn't going to finish better than third probably at a regional with Hart and Peyton Lee there, but he ended up placing as well as he could have. So there, that's what regionals does, and that's why you have to take two teams out, because you can gain some points by doing some crazy things that you probably wouldn't do in a dual meet. And I guess, you know, we knew that because you're doing all the points. So you're seeing, hey, conference tournament, we won by, you know, 40 or whatever, 30, 40, whatever it was. This is going to be right down to the wire. And I think the average person doesn't, you know, like, what are you talking about? No, like, you know, mm-hmm. what the lineup. And so it's going to be really, really good. So Hortonville, you know, they, them and Nina, I think it was a half point difference last year, at the regional. We won it. And then they were, who else was going to be the second? It came down to four wrestle backs that Hortonville had to win at the end, to win by like a half a point, and one or two of them are head to head with Nina. It was crazy. And now this year, you know, we were neck and neck, going, and, you know, we sew it up with the wrestle back. Ramses Aguirre gets a pin against somebody from Appleton, you know, that's unrelated to Hortonville, but we mm-hmm. needed to lock it up. So Yeah, those are interesting. Interesting when those events go that way. They're a lot of fun. They're very stressful, and good for the teams involved.
Before we get too far into the postseason, I do want to say, because Seymour was at a couple of turns. They were at the Herb Tyler, and then they were at Pulaski. Steve, I noticed in the middle of Jeff talking about it, we both got our Seymour shirts on.
You bet.
Got to thank Mr. Leisgang, father of the tallest wrestler in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, shout out. I'm still thinking of a nickname for him. I have an idea, Steve, but I don't want to steal the show. So
you bet.
I'll save it. All right, we're at team sectionals, Jeff, and I'm gonna steal a question from you because I have an idea of how you were feeling. It's a funny story now that everything's done, but I happened to be on the phone with Zach talking wrestling, and I think he was getting out of his car, and you happened to be there, and you're like, "Oh, what's up?" And I jokingly said, "I said, oh, just seeing how Hortonville can win 8 out of 14 matches against you guys." And you said, "Huh, yeah, me too." And you walked away, and Zach told me, he's like, "Yeah, no, he's been thinking a lot about the duel." I'm like, "Oh God." Well, I'm like, if Kakana doesn't win team sectionals, Jeff might never talk to me again. I've never been more pale faced after a joke than that one.
No, that easily could have happened. I mean, Bayport had a good team. I mean, that was probably a 7-7 on paper, you know, for a lot of people. And then, you know, some of our people, and I believed we could win 8 or even 9 in that duel. I think we were 10, you know, like there was a way, and then things got bad. They could win the duel too. So, you know, it's in their place, and they've got a great, you know, I grew up wrestling in Bayport and followed my brother wrestling there and my older brother coaching, and those rivalries never went away. They get it going. And so we had to be ready to go, and we had to have a good performance, and we did.
You guys end up beating Pulaski 54-11 in the semis. How much time did you have after that duel to watch the conclusion of Hortonville and Bayport? Cause that one looked like it was pretty wild.
Yeah, it was. We saw the last couple, and they got, you know, you're looking over your shoulder and you're seeing, you know, Hortonville get out to this huge lead. But I go over to Zach and I go, that one over? And he's like, no, you know, and it's just Hortonville. He goes, no. He goes, I don't know if Bayport's going to win, but trying to talk like Zach. I don't know if Hortonville's going to win, but it's going to come down to this match. And then it came down, I think it was 120 Ellerman, you know, and Schlumpfer. I think those are the two guys at 20, and, you know, so, you know, two really good wrestlers. And that's where it gets decided. And you know, and all along the line, there was, you know, some big pins and big swings, and you're only hearing the noise. You're not really watching those. But when we were done, we got to watch those last few, and you try to get your kids out of the gym and go somewhere and just kind of be quiet a little bit. And then, you know, the Pulaski duel, going back to that, we had a couple kids, you know, a couple freshmen get some pins for us against two of Pulaski's better wrestlers. That, you know, I think it was Schmidt at 138. You know, they moved a kid on him, and he's getting beat up pretty bad, and he pins him. And then Jackson Thorpe pinned a state qualifier that, you know, he's getting it kind of put on him. And part of that is, you know, at that point, you know, well, really not the first one, but that second one is our kids are jacked up. They know they got another duel. They're wrestling for something. And, you know, the motivation maybe at that point, if the duel is getting away on you, to, you know, to go out and wrestle a kid who's just hungrier than heck, and you want to, your focus is on being healthy for Saturday's sectional. So you got to totally understand that, but you still have to go out and do it and wrestle. And I was pretty, I just knew there was, we were going to wrestle pretty well in the finals. Like, our kids are bringing the energy. So you can, even in a match where it's 54-11 or whatever, like you have to, you know, it's not the score and it's not anything else. Like, you got to find things that are indicators of, you know, what got you to that point. And
right,
some kids really did well.
Oh yeah. Those pins you talked about, those were against solid wrestlers. And I was talking to the Pulaski coach before this. Man, why is his name escaping me, Steve?
Oh, my gosh.
Nate Przelowski.
Is it Nate?
Nate Przelowski. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Nate. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. That guy is one of the smartest guys that we've had on the show. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, we had him on for a sectional preview.
Yep.
He was one of those guys where he's like, yeah, I might have something to say about the teams. And then he knew more about Northeast Wisconsin wrestling than a lot of people. And
he's got some young hammers coming up that you'll be talking about, you know, for a long time too.
And so the Pulaski duel, you guys win, you go into the Bayport duel, you win 36-23. Was there any point during that duel where you were sweating it out at all?
Yeah. After 190, you know, we're winning that match with a takedown and then you end up giving up a pin. So that was the one that was kind of one we were thinking we had a chance, and Cole wasn't wrestling real well at the end of the year, but he was wrestling well enough to go out and win that match and being a senior. And he got caught in a head and arm. And when you get in a headlock and you're there on the mat for probably 30 seconds fighting it, but there was a minute or 20 on the clock and it's tight. And unless it's called illegal or something like that, if he doesn't make a mistake, it's a long time to fight that off. So that one, when ref slapped the mat, you know, actually what happened and the mat slapped, it's like, okay, now, you know, Nehemiah has to win and Andy has to win. And, you know, against kids that are having real good years, you know, mm-hmm. and you say, well, Andy DiPiazza, of course, he was his second time down to 106 and he's wrestling Hamill, who's, you know, whatever, and zero or with one loss or whatever on the year. And so, you know, you're going into that blind. And so you needed that one too. And then that's just hitting. That's the beginning of Murders a Row for those guys. Those first three weights for Bayport are all really tough. So yeah, it put some stress on Nehemiah, you know, especially.
I got to say a result that went unnoticed by me the first time around looking at this, but that's a nice win by Braden Delvo at 126.
Yeah. Those were two kids. They had a boy that was, I think, JV for the most part, mm-hmm. because, you know, those guys were wrestling up. And so it was kind of a crazy match. It was all over and we just kind of stole it at the end. And so two really young kids, I think they might be both freshmen. So kids that they'll get better and probably wrestle a little cleaner match next time. Cause it was getting a little flippy floppy.
A total of 10 near fall called, five for each side.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was wild.
All right, coach, we're done with team sectionals. Wherever you want to take. Yeah, we'll talk individual state first here. If you all. Yeah, well, we have sectionals first. But yeah, if you want to start running it with sectionals, I'll get that tournament pulled up. And maybe I'll have some questions for you.
No, just I think we had seven qualifiers. We won some wrestlebacks. The last one with Nehemiah beating Nate Cleveland, double overtime. You know, we reversed him after no one got a takedown in the first overtime. We reversed him and got a ride out. So that puts you in position. Now, when you're on top, you know, you can actually give up the escape, but you want to ride him as long as you can without giving a reversal. So, you know, you've got your tactics set up. The kids know what they have to do. And he ended up, riding him until about 7 seconds left. And we had a stalling call from not being able to return him. So, you know, again, now you've got to communicate, hey, if he stands up and you cannot return him now, you got to cut him and go into head block and stay in the middle. And so that's exactly what he did. Cleveland got to his feet and, you know, he's blocking our knees and you get the one and then you get the escape. And I think that might have been a 2-point call. Like there, mm-hmm. I think a lot of the points were. We got a stalling call early. They got a stalling call and then we got a point. They got a point and it wasn't, it kind of made it crazy for overtime. And I think me and Kyle Kluskins were both thinking the same thing in the first and second period of that match. It's like, don't call a stalling on us. Don't call us because you're going to call a stalling on them and then give them one of them. One. And then it puts you in this situation now where the end of the match, people are crying for a stalling call and it's a 2-pointer. And then it kind of, it just kind of messes everything up.
Kind of takes away from the the wrestling. So in general.
We ended up letting him go. We let him go and gave him his one because we got that reversal, and then you know we just had to watch for some of the things that he does. You know, slide bys, and he's got a lateral, and he can do some things. So put your arms behind your back and put your head down and wrestle. You know, at that point, and he. So that was how we ended the day, and he got number seven. And all along, you know, Colin DeGroat ended up winning against Bayport in the semis. Of course, now you're going against Henry Neubauer in the finals. But you got to win your semi to face Neubauer, because if you don't win your semi, you're probably staying home. And he beat the Bayport wrestler. And, again, he beat him at Pulaski, but he lost to him. I'm not going to say convincingly, but I think we gave up a couple of takedowns in the duel at Bayport, and he beat us. You know, it was like, okay, this was a different match. So he had to come back in a short week and then wrestle him again and win. You know, Liam did his thing. Petey did his thing. Andy was really good. And Peyton Lee had Tanner Hart for, you know, the third time and ended up opening up with him at state. We didn't know that then, but he's good. And so we had to, you know, get a lot of takedowns to beat him because we couldn't ride him very well. And then, you know, Brady Springer's had a really good path to go, and he took care of business. And again, you know, he's wrestling Stoffel, you know, and Nehemiah's wrestling Arndt, and Springer's is wrestling Neubauer, all these kids that are in the state finals and or winning it, and like Stoffel did. And so, you know, your guys are – they gotta win their semis, you know. And they were able to do that and then go in behind those guys. So no, really good day for us. And we had a couple of wrestle backs. We lost Schmidt, our freshman, lost, and he was up against the other Herm, the cousin of Jacob, I believe, from Shano, senior, really strong kid. And Ramses Aguirre, you know, in a kind of an open weight class behind Jacob Herm, you know, things opened up at that weight, where no one knew who the number two was going to be. It ended up being Trevor Finger, who we took down. We were beating third period, I think, up by one. We gave up a takedown and lost that by a point or two. So that would have been one of those Cinderella type of qualifiers. But the kids that got there were, you know, all really deserving. And then they proved it the following week when we got down there. So it was a good day.
Since you brought up Springer's, I do have to mention it can't go unnoticed that Brady did give Stoffel one of his closest matches of the year, and it was the first time they wrestled. Yeah. Actually, ended up being 5-3. Was it just a styles matchup that day, or can you take us through that match real quick? I know it was so long ago now. It was late.
No,
December.
I just think. Jake got tired, you know, like he's a strong kid, and he went out and it was under the mat lamp, and it was at Appleton North, and you know, he's confident he's going to win, and he did. But you go out there and you're, you know, you exert a lot of energy. And Brady's pretty athletic. He's young, and he makes some mistakes, but you know, he was able to just fend off once he was able to fend off a bunch of takedowns you know, like everybody does it. They'll wrestle that match where they get kind of tired, and all of a sudden you find out you're in it. And then we got a stalling call and a stalling point at the end that I know they weren't too happy about. And I would have to agree with them. You know, it's like he did a lot of the shooting. He did a lot of the attacking, and he's dead tired right now at the end of the match. And when you do a lot, then you slow down. You shouldn't be penalized for it. Mm-hmm. But we got a point there to make it, I think, 5-3. But, no, it was just good to see Brady. We always tell, you know, we tell our kids, like, it's not about winning a match that, but if you can make a great wrestler feel you, you know, that's all it is. Like, can they feel you? Are they going to feel you? Like, you know, and how many times do you see a good wrestler go out there and they do their thing and they walk off the mat, or they go out there and they win by a major and they kind of cruise through it? Or how many times, you know, if they come off and they're just like, oh God, you know, he was tired. And when they walk off the mat, they go, God dang it. You know, that he didn't just go over me like everybody else I wrestle. You know, he paid his $5 and came to the tournament and got his free medal at the end and took his ass whooping and went and got ice cream after. It's like, no, like matches have to mean something. Like you're going to get 6 minutes with the best wrestler in the state. All we're asking you to do is make him feel you and not say that was easy. Like he does every time he goes off. There was one of those situations. And then you could say, well, the rest of the times he scored a lot more. Yeah. But you know, Brady, wasn't like he was on his back all those other matches and he was able to just go the matches and accumulate information. And then obviously that was the closest one, the first one, and everyone was wider after that because, you know, Stoffel's a smart kid. He knows like, okay, now this time, you know, I'm going to do this, you know, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to score points this way and I'm going to widen the gap on him. And he did. He made those adjustments. So.
Well,
but there's little lessons to be learned. You know, there's just, you have to gain a lot of information about that. It's what really happened and what you were trying to do.
Hey, you can find a way to learn from every match. And that's a fun result for the fans. And see, like, paid off for Brady, especially in the long run. The coach, he gets 7 qualifiers to individual state. And I'll tell you what, for the Ghost, it was definitely an adventure at the Kohl Center when you're looking at the results. And I think just looking at the box scores, it doesn't really put the weekend that you guys had into justice. So again, I sound like a broken record tonight, but I'm just gonna let you take the floor. You're cooking right now, Jeff.
That's right.
I'm sitting back and enjoying.
I am too. This is good stuff.
Well, Brewers are up. They got to close this out. It's 3-2. I mean, you know you're cooking when it's fourth inning or fifth inning, and then you look up and it's the ninth inning, and you haven't even.
I was gonna actually. I pulled up the score because I was like, "Wow, Jeff's really been focused on the show." So
see one unrecorded. No, the state tournament, Andy, good run. He was on a good side of the bracket where he could do that, and we're seeded it and. You know, it spit him out as number two, and we felt he could win it no matter what. But, you know, Duchemin was really good. He's good on his feet, funky. And it was a great run for him. You know, I hope he can, you know, rebound. And now you got to put yourself, you know, you got to put all the training in to have an opportunity just to get to the tournament and get back to that point again because it's so hard and there's so much talent. You know, it's not the talent that's with you or in front of you. There's dudes coming behind you like you, Andy, you know, and not every kid you beat was a freshman or eighth grader. You're beating sophomores and juniors that thought they were pretty good. So they're sneaking up. Talent out there is incredible. And then, you know, we had, I think our next guy was Peters, and obviously he's the bell cow. We didn't talk much about him tonight other than, you know, being dominant, but you know, he took his 2 losses to Wolbert and just, you know, got his first takedown and was putting a hard ride on him. And then, you know, things just got away. He gave up a turn late in the third period. That just was, you know, really, and then, you know, what's going to turn good guys. It's, you know, if you can tilt and you have a tilt, we've seen that with Liam and what it does. And it's like, that's kind of a game changer, bars and halves and even, you know, cradles come off of neutral a lot, but on top, if there's one dangerous thing, that you see that scares the, you know, keeps you up at night as if somebody's got a tilt, you know, and it's sometimes it's just a matter of pinching a wrist down. And so that wasn't like, it wasn't like when we wrestled him at the Cheesehead, we saw that, but he got in a position, was able to put our hips up for points. So that kind of widened the gap there. But he's, you know, we can get more to that, but, you know, he had a tremendous run, you know, really kind of pushed his way through the tournament without a problem up to that point. And then, you know, collision course over a kid who can be a 4-time champ and is one of the best kids in our state. And then you get up to Colin, you know, he had Newbert right off the bat. We see these crazy things happen now, but that's the seeding we wanted. And I like it. And that's fair. And, you know, he had a short tournament, but he gathered a lot. And he's going to be a good kid for us the next 2 years. And Peyton had a good run, you know, had an opportunity where he was at a weight class where he could do some things this year. And, you know, had his tough overtime match to Arrowhead. I can't pronounce his last name.
Goldmatico.
And he, you know, he ended up then winning in the semis and making it to the finals and actually wrestled really well in the finals as well, I thought. So real talented kid. And we beat him at the Cheesehead. He beat us at the Husky. And this was a rubber match, and he got us. And, you know, we had opportunities, and we needed to ride him out, you know, at the end. And he got away in the final seconds, put it into overtime. And then we each had takedowns. And it was one of those things where someone's got to take a clean shot and commit to it. And it was him that did and got it. So Brady had a good tournament, 2-2 blood round. No, really. Just like where he went from, you know, 145-pound freshman to now he's down there in the Kohl Center. And if you sit there back a year before, you know, and you'd say, well, you know, next year, you know, Brady Springer is going to be down there in the round of eight, and he's going to be right in there, and he's going to be doing this, and he's going to be big and strong and athletic, and you'd be like, okay, you know, what are you on? But you know, there he is, and he's doing some really good things. So he won a few matches down there, and real happy there. And then Liam, you know, we skipped over him, but let's go to Nehemiah. He had a real good tournament, won his matches, you know, won a real tough, blood round match. And, he had to beat the Muskego kid early. And that was a big one. Tough wrestler. He had to get past that. And he found a way to, you know, score more points. You always tell kids the best wrestler doesn't always win. It really doesn't matter. It's who can score the most points, and that's who moves on. And he was able to do it, and real proud of him. You know, being a light kid, you know, we obviously, you know, he weighed 214, 215. He was up to 217 at the end of the year, 218. But was like, hey, you know, our sectional has this guy, and at state you got this guy and this guy. And, you know, 220 is – it's open. And, you know, made this decision. It's like, no, I can place at heavyweight. You know, there's a path to placing, to getting there and placing at 220. You know, you got a dude there, but there's not as probably as many dudes, and you weigh there. And we stuck with the heavyweight, and it paid off. And so I have no idea what would have happened at 215 for him. And it really doesn't matter anymore, because it really was a good run for him there. And then, and Liam just, you know, he hadn't, you know, he has a really, obviously there's the tilts on top, but he developed head outside this year, going to his left. He was a big single leg cutback front headlock guy. And I'd tease him all year long, you know, like he hit head outside on, you know, we can call it a high crotch, rotate double, whatever you want. But he hit it on Weidman in the finals of the Husky, you know, and he was showing that all year. And I'm like, where's your single? I want, coach, I want to, you know, I got the high crotch, you know. And I'm like, well, you know, like the single is your bread and butter. And he did it. And then he hit it to win that match. And I said, well, you could have hit three singles maybe. And then you wouldn't have had to do that. You know, just tease him, and smiles. And I go, yeah, keep working it. You know, you have to develop and have a diverse offense and have good defense and got to be able to attack both sides. And then he, you know, same thing with the top. So all of a sudden the tilts, like, not much, but he was being counted on in all the duels and everything to pin people. And we tease people when they can tilt and they can't pin, you know, they're teching people with tilts, and it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a great tilt, but yeah, you can't pin anybody. And, you know, gets under his skin a little bit, and he goes out, I can pin people. So he'll throw a bar, you know, bars, like he can bar and he can pin, and he's doing a lot of that, and riding with bars and throwing halves and even an occasional cradle. He'll jump on top and do that. It's like, okay, boy, I hope, you know, we don't lose the tilt because we haven't seen it. And then all of a sudden it comes out, you know, early in the state tournament. He hit one, and I said, whoever was, it was Zach in the chair, and I just said, I like seeing the tilts now. Like, we're done with bars trying to pin people, but it's really came back on this good kid here. And then he hits it in the semis over and over and over and over again. And then you get to the finals, and God, if we can just hit one, you know, you're a state champ.
Well,
and he hit one, and he got it, and then 3-0. And then good riding, you know, really good, really trippy with his feet. And then you've got a, you know, you've got a Marshfield, you know, Denny, he's got a tilt too. It's a different tilt, but he's got a leggy thing he does. And he's got his top game that turns everybody too. So you have to block that off. And so he had to be good enough on bottom and at least get to a point in the match where he had to let us go so that we could, you know, get the hell off from bottom, not get turned.
Well, because there was a moment in that match, right, in the third period where I don't think he was close to getting back points or anything, but Denny was, like, close to hitting his tilt.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not really a conventional thing. It just but, you know, he's just tough, and you got to keep moving, and you got to keep your wrist free, and, you know, just – so, and it's a lot of wrestling too. You know, it's just wrestling a lot, wrestling freestyle, wrestling Greco, being in parterre, you know, all those things come into play that you're seeing at the highest level when you're just expanding your positions on the mat.
Liam Crook getting the Wisconsin Wrestler bump, goes on for the Pokemon podcast and then wins a state title. So coincidence?
Yeah, who knows, right?
Sorry, had to throw that in there, Jeff.
It's beautiful. It's part of the story.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was state's always, especially when you have seven guys down there, it's always an adventure. And you told that story beautifully, Jeff. And I'm glad you bring it up, Lucas. I just want to say on Lucas, excellent wrestler, but also a great guy as well. It just seems like every time I see him, he's always one of those beams of positivity. And he's got that Ushanka, that little Russian hat that he always is rocking around. So props to Lucas on a great career. And yeah, just shout out to you, Mr. Peters, on a job well done. Steve, you got anything on individual state before we go to team state?
No, I feel like I'm just sitting here listening. I'm noticing a few coaching tips. Jeff's giving him out. He doesn't realize he is, but if you listen closely, there's a lot of good coaching tips in there.
What was I going to say? Oh, don't take this as disrespect, but I did have one fruit snack left from my sectional preview that I did for 10 hours straight. So while you talk about team state, I'm going to kick back and relax, and I'll interject, but I'll make sure I don't have a mouthful of fruit snacks. Team state. Brewers win, by the way, 3-2.
Oh, did they really? Nice.
Commercial. All right. They needed that one. Dogs are going to get a walk tonight when I get home. Number two.
Well, yeah, Coach, team state, you're walking in, I guess, maybe as T eats his fruit snacks here a little bit. I got two parts leading into the quarterfinals. Number one is how you feeling overall as a team. And number two, I mean, I know on paper, I Coach Ernie Millard, one of the best guys in the sport, right? I mean, how'd you feel about facing him first round, first time ever homestead at team state? Final score is 49-17. But just walk us through that duel, how the team felt, and afterwards, what was your conversation like with Ernie?
Well, I talked to him the week before, and that's on, you know, I think I had a long conversation with him out in the concourse, Saturday morning, or maybe it was Friday morning. I think it was, might've been Saturday morning when you're just waiting for weigh-ins and there's no people in there. You know, it's just the security people and some, you know, workers, and I'm going up and I get a coffee and they'll serve me an $8 coffee. And then and he's walking around back there and we just start talking. And, I didn't know Ernie until his son was, in school. And I think during COVID, they came up here when we had that 28 team sectional was in Hartford. And then we held the state tournament here the week after. And that's where I first kind of met him. And he was a freshman that year. And so, you know, and he was on the map already. And he had beat Logan Stumpf at Hartford. And then I see him at the clinic every year, have lunch with him. And then talk to him this year. So, yeah, you're right. Just, great guy, you know, great family. Always, you'll talk to him, you're going to learn something, so you better listen. And, but again, just a real friendly guy, and could see how his kids wrestled for him. And then going into that, you're like, okay, they're going to wrestle for this guy. How can you not, right? If I would have had a coach like that, I had a great coach, but you know, Ernie is just an extra, he's little extra oomph, a hell of a lot more than me as far as positivity. Like, how would you not go out there and put it all on the line for that guy? And so we had to, it's not like I talked to my kids like, hey, the coach you're going against, this is his last time he's going to coach. And it's, you know, it's Charlie's dad. And so you better be ready. No, it wasn't that. It's just stuff you're thinking about. Mm-hmm. Like, guys, you got to be ready. You know, this team's, it's their first time they've been here, you know, and it's the first time a lot of you guys have been here too, at least out on this mat. So maybe we're sitting on the side watching it, but they're going to come and they're going to fight and they're going to scrap. And they did, you know, they did everything we expected. And it was a fun duel. And yeah, just congratulated him. Didn't say too much at the end, because, you know, he'd get onto his team and get onto our teams and stuff. But what a great career. He's, he's like the most interesting man in the world. You know, you had the Dos Equis commercial and this and that. And Ernie's one of those guys, you know, and you talk to him, like, he's done it all. I think he won a state base. I could be wrong, like state base, like he was a baseball coach, football coach, track coach. Like, I dabbled in other sports and I did this, but like, he was a pretty high level coach in a lot of sports. I think it was his brother was the pitcher, he told me, when they, like 1993 or 94, they won like state or they did something pretty damn good. And he coached his younger brother, was like the stud player on the team. So like, that's pretty cool. And just all the other stuff. So very interesting. We moving on to the next duel too, or?
Ernie Millard, the sweetheart of Wisconsin wrestling. Cool. Steve might know. I thought, Steve, you knew about the intel for Ernie coaching baseball.
Yeah. No, they did. It was 93. They won a state championship, Teague. And for some, I cannot remember the team they beat, but all I know is they are like blue. They like West Bend West colors. It's not them.
Hudson. Was it Hudson?
No. Who's the team? Was it? Oh, shoot. It could have been Hudson. For some reason, I think it was like, who are the Ardockers, Teague?
Ashland.
Was it Ashland?
Ashland's purple. Dude.
Yeah, that's purple. I'm kind of colorblind. So you go on to the next round. I'm going to find it.
You're going to do recon on it? Okay. Yep. I was about to do recon on it. Jeff was cooking. We just had to throw in our antics there for a moment. But Jeff, I just thought about this now, but your first two rounds, you were going against teams who it was their first time making it to team stay. But yeah, take us through the Menominee duel, because I was on the call for that one. Wait, were you on the call for that one too, Steve?
Yeah, I was with you.
That's right. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot if we were split up or not at that time. But that was a really fun duel. And I think from the last 4 years, probably one of the biggest tests that you guys have had in the semis. You guys end up winning 35-29. So if you want to take us through that, maybe through your lineup moves or whatnot. But I think that was the duel where I really pointed out, I mean, Jackson Thorpe had himself a team state tournament. And that was the duel that really stood out for me in that.
You just talk about opposites, you know, and just tradition and history. You got Rylan Lubeck, you know, Rapids wrestler, former Badger, starting his career, you know, and then bringing his first team to state. Reminds me of 1995, bringing our first team to state. And then you got Ernie Millard on the other side, bringing, you know, in his last year of coaching after all the years, bringing his first team to state. And, you know, I'm more familiar with Ernie from an age standpoint. And, but it's, you know, the Menominee program has had, they've had unbelievable, you know, blue chip stud wrestlers over there. We can just list on and on and on and on, you know, obviously football, but it's a sport community and wrestling in particular has always had, really, you know, it's hard to believe they have never been to team state before, but then you got to look at, you know, in their early years, they're going with Wausau West, because Rapids was coming over to Green Bay, and then you have, you know, Hudson, and then going really back in the 90s was dominated by River Falls and Brandvold and all those guys. So they were probably going up against them, and but always had, you know, from the Pie Zigs to, you know, just all the names that are there A lot of tradition. I know a lot of those guys, you know, they're, you know, when I was coaching in the 90s, Menominee had it. And then all the way through the 2000s with the lightweights. And so those people, they hang around, and like we're seeing with Rapids now, you're seeing that, that next generation, they've got Tritzes and, you know, Armagost, and you can go on and look at all the Freeman, and you just got names of guys that were beating my younger brother's teams in the 90s. It's the same guys. And so Menominee's, those guys hang around, whether they have sons or not, they're coaching, they're getting involved. Mm-hmm. They're, they got a young coach in there that's really, really good, tough. You know, Lubeck reminds me a lot of Cody C at Marshfield. Like he's like, you can just see a lot of things that, that are shaping up and happening, and they're getting the middle school. Now they got to stick around, you know, those guys, they got to stay in it. Like they've got to stay in wrestling. And, because I've, you know, you see the young coaches and it's not burnout, but it's getting, it's just for whether it's chasing money or whatever. And I can't blame anybody in bad judgment. You know, you got to do what you got to do, but, you stick around, you're going to be, those programs are going to be really, really good. And, you know, I'm talking, you know, 20 years, which is a long time now, let alone 30. Seems like you get to that 10 to 15 mark, and that's where, you know, people take a career path change. And I just, those are two of the hottest young coaches here, and I could keep going on, but they just kind of remind me of each other. And they're two teams we've had at Team State in the last couple of years, and they kind of come from the same neighborhood over there. You know, it's getting that North back. They got Crass up there now, so that's been a game changer for that part of the state. Like when it was, again, when Jordy and Josh Crass were in high school, you know, in the early 2000s and going before that, that's where it was. Like it was just wrestling was there. And then it kind of shifted a little bit. And, but now that they're running their clubs and, you know, kids are going to Pinnacle and, you know, you had Victory up there, like that area of the state is just, there's individuals, like it is really, really bringing a lot of talent from all the small communities up to the larger ones like Menominee. So they're going to be around. It's a good duel. And obviously, you know, they have the lightweights that are really good. And we just, yeah, had to find a win it on bonus points. And Colin DeGroote had a big, big, big win. You know, it was a tough call. There was a stalling call at the end that I think put it into overtime. And then we got a quick go behind to win that one. So that was a big swing match of a couple of state qualifiers. And yeah, just overall, just a really good duel, you know, just like we expected.
Yeah, it was a fun one. 26 and 50, like you said, those definitely, those were big matches in there. Mm-hmm. And it takes you guys, we'll take you right to the finals. Because, Coach, I know we always say an hour, hour 15, but here we are at an hour 18. So,
all right, let's wrap it up.
We'll get to the finals here. Kakana versus Rapids. It seemed to be a collision course since at the start of the year. Of course, you two had to have some battles with other great teams throughout. But here we are. You guys end up on top, 36 to 27. Take us through that duel. If you had any moves or whatnot, you can talk us through that. But yeah, take us through winning this title.
Yeah, it was getting Peters on somebody, you know, and so winning the flip for us, which we went through about 3 years where we never won a flip. And then all of a sudden now this year, I don't know if we won all of them, but we got that one. And so it just put it made them present at 32. So if we wanted to chase that was kind of a key. And it started off right away with Gormanson and Lendeby. They didn't wrestle at state, but that was a match where he was winning. He kind of lateral dropped us at the Husky in the finals. And it was one of those where he kind of threw us and we were there and the ref went down and pumped and we were able to get off and we're only down 2-0. And then that's, the match kind of stood at 2-1 until the end. And then I think we got a reversal ride out in the last 30. I mean, we rode him out too to win that match. So that's one that, okay, we don't know what that, but we had a good state tournament. We had a better state tournament than him. I don't know if there were head to heads. I think he got beaten by some place winners that we did not wrestle. Maybe there was one that beat both of us. So you're starting with that one, and we really feel good about Nehemiah. And, you know, you go back and watch that, there's a scramble there. You know, there is a situation where we come out the back door and split his legs, and, you know, a position we're familiar with, and you end up getting that takedown, and that you know, you normally don't see heavyweights like a guy that's that big getting popped up in the air. And that first takedown was big, and then we could ride him. And so that was huge, you know, right off the bat. They'd probably say the same thing, but not over. You got 13 more to go, and there's mm-hmm. more toss-ups and pins that are going to happen, and guys fighting off of pins. So, but that was really good. And then you get Andy out there against a good wrestler, and to get a bar, you know, and to put his hips up and get a pin, you know, now you're really cooking. And so, yeah, you know, and again, Jack wrestled a really good match there too. He lost.
I was going to say, that's a win for you guys in terms of a duel. Yeah,
he brought some fight to that one. You know, Peters goes out and gets a pin, and then, you know, middleweights do a pretty good job. And then you bring it to the Weidman Lee match, which was going to be a good match. And we ended up getting that one, and Peyton got some takedowns, and he missed some takedowns, you know, and then finished it with a couple of takedowns at the end to put an exclamation mark on it. And then it was, you know, you got Liam, he's not going to tilt anymore. You know, he's going to go out there and he's going to try to put a pin move on, and he gets it. And then Brady had a big match, and it was, I think we were up by 18, and we had it won with three matches to go up 18, because I think we had four pins to one or something crazy. I don't know. They didn't have any at that point. They ended up getting two at the end, but yeah, a lot of good, you know, even 126, you know, our kids, you get teched by a state champ against someone who's wrestled very little varsity for us this year. His name is Perry Bear. He's real flexible, and he's battled a lot of injuries, but he hustles. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, loud and swaying all year long, vision quests, like, okay, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do something, you know. And so, you know, he got taken down a lot, but he's, you know, he never put both shoulders down and stayed on the mat and fought. And, you know, even though you're giving up five and that's one less than six, it's more than that. It's more than the 1 point. It is, it's just a feeling that you get, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've said before, I've been beaten enough by Louis, God rest his soul, over the years, you know, beating our tail, and you've got we might have had a state champ here and there, a place winner over, and they've got a guy who's not even a state qualifier, and you're just sitting there going, we cannot get a pin here. This is like, how are we going to beat this team if we can't get a pin with our best wrestler against their number, you know, 10 wrestler, you know, as far as if you wanted to rank them, and it's or 11 or 12, or and it really is demoralizing. So those little battles are more, it's the point, but it's also just, you know, it's the mental warfare, you know.
Duels show that momentum is a very real thing.
Yep. We've seen it.
Like, we're excited by getting, you know, when the bench gets up, when a kid just really technically gets his ass beat bad on the scoreboard, but you're up and you're going, like, and that's real. It's not fake. It's like, hey, that's a fight. Because, you know, I've said probably to you guys before, you know, go look at a box score, go look at the pins, you know, and in freestyle, it's either a tech or, you know, techs happen so fast. It's just, we throw away matches and stuff. So you really have to appreciate in the biggest moments when your kids can go out and take that, when he's really trying to pin you and you're not going to give it up. And you have to, you just can't go into the team state tournament and say, hey, you know, nobody can get pinned. You know, it's not something you're all of a sudden gonna, you know, it's like, hey, Milwaukee Bucks, we got to start playing defense now if we're going to win an NBA championship. It ain't happening. Okay. You know, we can watch this later, but it ain't happening. Like, you have to, that grit has to show up all year long. You can't turn it off in the end. So I think Perry was bought into hearing that. And so that was a big, big thing for us. We'll talk about it. You know, we'll talk about it next year, and we'll talk about it for years to come.
It's a culture. Coach,
I want to give you props too, because it's an easy thing to not think about in the moment, but duels locked up, giving senior Jordan Bartlett one more match to close off the duel. I think that's an awesome way to finish off the year for you guys.
Yep, and he was injured through the middle of the year, and probably could have been a kid that Sam Weber would have, those two probably would have, wrestled off and had a chance. But, you know, once he lost the middle, now probably 50 to 60% of the year, it was before Christmas. And then he came back and did some JV events and did really well at those. And, you know, so he could have been a guy that we would have used a lot more. But, you know, he got that moment out there and he was there for the team all the way.
Steve-O, you got anything?
Coach. It's just kind of looking, looks like you got five seniors are losing, three starters. You know, talk to us about next year. How you guys, how's next year shaping up already? I'm sure you've already looked ahead.
Yeah, it's, you know, you have to, you gotta pray for some corn to grow, and then you gotta pray for some of it not to grow. And, you know, like, you got to fit your guys in. You know, this was Hortonville last year coming back. You know, they were able to, they couldn't fit them all in early in the year, and then they had to make the drop at the end. And, you know, when you return 10, 11 guys, you know, that's one thing. And now getting them all in, you can't put them at a different position or flip them over to defense or, you know, anything like that. You have to just kind of, you know, hope it all works, and then your kids got to develop. And teams, you know, the elephant in the room for us, maybe nobody else really cares about that unless you're in Division II, is Luxembourg Casco is going to be probably in our sectional. I don't see how they would move them anywhere else. They could. I mean, there's a way where they could go one place, or maybe we're not always in that. Our regional was not up in Green Bay last year. We were south. So once everything shakes out, there's nothing intentional. It's you get the 128 Division I teams plus Luxembourg now, who moves up. So it's the 127 biggest enrollments plus Luxembourg. And now, you know, you plot them on a map and you draw your lines. And so some teams are going to move here and there. I know, you know, like Shano is right on that cutting edge, and they might go D2. And then that would be, you know, there's always those things that change the co-op. So we'll probably see them. And now you've got Bayport loaded. You know, they lose their four or five, but they're, you know, JV state. They got 50 kids. They got eighth graders coming up. Another, you know, more kids coming in. So they're not going anywhere. They're on the up yet. And so we'll have one heck of a battle on regionals and sectionals again. And you got to be ready for it. It's a long way off. You don't stress over it, but it's going to be fun.
And it's already in the back of your mind.
When kids are training, you know, it's like, you know, you remember when we had regionals here and we were right up in this wrestling room and you're standing in here and what are you thinking? And it's like, you know, you remember, oh God, this is great. And boy, we have to be ready. And I've got to go win a match for the team. I got to get points here, or I got to do this and that. It's like, well, what are you going to be saying next year? And you have to put in your time, so you're confident when that time comes and the bell rings. So, that's going to be, it's going to be a fun process, you know, watching the kids develop and getting them ready for next year.
Jeff,
Coach, oh, go ahead, T.
I was going to say, final thoughts on this year's team and the graduating class of seniors, if you have anything to say about them. Congratulations on the state title, by the way. I don't know if we said that at the start, but it was a well-earned title this year for sure.
Yeah, just seniors. It was a flip of last year where we had 14, or, you know, with a manager, and this year you had less, and we had a couple of senior managers too. And so, but as far as, you know, the wrestlers, you know, we got three out there on a regular basis, and, you know, they maxed out what they could do. And so, you know, one of them was a first year starter. The other one was a part-time starter with Weber last year at 90. And that's Cole Tomchek. And then of course, Peters was a 4 year well, three-year state finalist, and then he had his finger bone injury his freshman year. So, you know, he's right up there. We had our banquet 2 weeks ago from tonight, and, you know, he's right up there with, you know, like, as far as three state finalists, there was Robert, and then there was Grayson and Lucas. He was 3 for 3 in his opportunities of making the D1 state finals and getting one. So that's some pretty good names to be mentioned with. And there's other good wrestlers, but they might have gone second, you know, third or first, second, you know, whatever. He was in three state finals in 3 tries. And so, and that, like you said, it's there, the numbers is one thing, but then, you know, just I had lunch. He came down and had lunch with me and another teacher today in the office. He just stops in and just yapping. And we're just talking about everything and anything, you know, mostly talking about cooking and grilling. That was a conversation today. And what his T-bone steak he was talking about. And the Fayed teacher that I'm with down there is, he's a golfer too. So we, you know, we're talking golf and all that stuff. Like, he's that kid that can come in and just, like, he can have a conversation with you for an hour and he ain't going anywhere. You know, he comes out, he has first hour. He has a senior, he doesn't have a class. So we have seniors don't have to be there. And then we have a flex time where kids sign up to go and see teachers. And then his second hour, he's got an online class. Well, he comes into flex time and sits in and talks with me and then sits with my Phi Ed and hangs out in our Phi Ed class. He'll fill in as a badminton double or, you know, go instruct some kids on weight training, or he'll jump on a volleyball team, or he'll lead the warmups one day, or he just comes in and hangs around school. Now, he doesn't have to come to school till 10:54, it'd be 11:02 every day, okay? But he'll come to school at 9 o'clock and just be around and do, like, he's a senior and this is the spring of his senior year. And you have to put that in perspective. If anybody's an educator out there, what that means, you know, like, see, are ready to be done. And if they can be, they would be, but, he's sucking in every moment of it. You know, he wants to be here. And then when it's time to go, he's going to go and go and do his thing at the next phase. So he understands that. That's a pretty big deal. It's a special senior. We're going to lose next year, but our kids learned a lot from all our sophomores and juniors. Like, they all learned something from him, you know, and it's going to be, hey, Petey, what would Petey have said? What would Petey have done? How would Petey have done it? And so that'll have a lasting impact on our program. So yeah, that's kind of how I feel, you know, about our senior class and Petey in particular. Yeah, we'll move on now.
Beautifully nice. Said, Coach.
Yeah, it was good.
And now, Steve, you have to follow that up with trivia.
Yeah, you bet. No,
hey, well, yeah, we.
Jeff's been waiting all day for this, man. He's been so. Here's my as we wrap that up, and you know, here we go. Are we going to have year number five in a row next year? Right, that's already the target's on the back. Well, I was just thinking, and you don't have to answer this, Coach, but I was just looking, and T, you won't remember this. I know you know it was. 2012-13, where you kind of start really following wrestling. But Coach will remember this. I remember a time, like, from, I don't know if the span was like 09 to 2012, where I would just sit at the Kohl Center and go, man, are these Rapids guys ever going to lose? You know, and it's like they just seemed unstoppable. And, you know, it got to be where the Kohl Center was starting to cheer openly against Wisconsin Rapids. And, you know, Coach, you're kind of reaching that level of maybe putting a little target on your back. And I don't know if the team – are you guys embracing it as a coaching staff, as a team? Are they kind of prepared for that as the wins keep on coming? You know, I don't know if you have a statement to that or not.
I mean, if anybody says they didn't want to have Wisconsin Rapids or close to their success back when they were doing it, they're lying, you know, through their maybe personally they would have done this or done that. But as far as, you know, what was being accomplished, and you know, you had to say God just to get one of them, let alone two or three in a row. So no, I don't forget, you know, how you felt sitting across the mat watching them, and then you just try to you got to be a good sport about it, because I've been there and done that. I've had Louis, you know, say things after, and you're like, you're full of shit. You know, you're going to kick our ass the next year. You know, it's like, yeah, okay. You know, it's, but, you know, I wouldn't say things to other coaches if I didn't feel, you know, like you feel them, you know, you feel things in our state, you know, in all divisions, like there's good wrestling, and we're just very fortunate to pull kids together, and they are able to go out and get it together at the biggest time. And you don't have to win by domination. You know, it's just the trophy doesn't have the score on it. The banner in the gym doesn't have a score on it. It's just you win by 1 point. So we were happy to get it done any way we could this year. We knew it was going to be very, very, very hard.
Well, that's it. One thing I will say is as we transfer on to trivia is I will say, Teague, you and I have seen this, is that it seems like Wisconsin, I don't know if this is like this in every state, but seems like in general, the really good coaches in the state of Wisconsin are very encouraging, and they want all programs to do very well. Obviously, they want to win, right? But it seems like the motto is the rising tide raises all ships, and let's help each other out. So, yeah. But anyway, trivia, here we go. And this is the challenge, Teague. Here's the thing. I'll be impressed if you get one out of five. I think you'll get one out of five on this one. And coach, you know what? You could get all five, but I think I'm going to give you a 60%. I'm predicting you're going to get three out of five out of these trivia. I know the challenge has been, I can see him steaming already. He's like, forget you, dude. I'm going to get all of them. All right. Teague, start with you. I'll start with that. What I think are the easiest ones first for coach Teague, not necessarily for you. Which Kekana wrestler has gotten the most pins in one season? Most pins in one season. Ready, go.
It's got to be Cleaver, right? Heavyweight.
Teague, is that your final answer?
I'm either going Keaton or Lucas. I guess
no,
I'll go
Lucas
with
had like 30 or 32 this year.
Yeah, Lucas was 32. Coach, it was two guys. Can you name them?
Was it Keaton and Joe Buddy?
Well, I'll give it to you. Joe Buddy was one of them. Was a tie. So Joe with 39. Keaton had 37. And it was Drew. Drew had 39 as well in 2023.
Right, it was last year, and I would have announced that at the banquet. Yeah, hey, 39 points.
I didn't say you had to get both of them, so you got one. Score is 1-0. Coach Teague. So I didn't expect you to get that one, so no big deal, right? Teague, now you could get this one because it was during your era of starting to follow wrestling. Which Kekana wrestler has the most takedowns in one season?
I want to guess the general, Robert Lee.
That's a good answer. That's a good guess. He is not even in the top five. So
is it a Leon?
Nope. Trent Leon had, no, he was second. He was second. So you already got two guesses. So I'm knocking you off that one. Coach, who do you got?
Colton Jansen.
Yep. There you go. And nice job.
We've never had a kid get 200 takedowns in a year. You know, we've never, like, you see some of these, like, 300 takedowns, 400 takedowns, you know, or, you know, 250, but, like, it's hard to get 200 takedowns. I don't know. We like to pin, and duels are big, but we'll have kids get four or five. You know, they try to, you don't want to ever dance on anybody either. You know, that's not something. And so, if you can get 120 to 160, that's a good season.
And Colton, Jeff, I'm not familiar with him. Did he end up going to state?
State runner up. He lost. I tell the Colton Jansen story all the time. He was 2014, our first state title. He was a senior. He lost in the state finals to, I believe it was Colin Krause. He was winning 10-9 or 10-11 with 5 seconds left, had a stalling on him. And Colin Krause had a pick off the whistle. He'd time it, but he had already been buzzed for maybe a caution or two. Maybe one, because we were ready for that. And he took a shot. We down blocked front headlock. Look at the clock, 5 seconds left, something. And he ended up, it looked like a drag, but we were kind of trying to hit some sort of roll. It was one like Colton will have to explain. And we lost that match with a final takedown right as time expired. And we were in a front headlock. So he was good. Yeah. And he just did it like his senior year. He really brought it. He's always solid, but he was so sick of getting beat by Bailey Van Handel, Trey Leone, you know, Robert Lee, like that's who he grew up with. And he just got really good.
Nice. There you go. All right. So Teague, you're 0-2. Coach, 2-2. Nice job. All right, Teague, I think you'll get this one. In what year did Kakana score the most points at individual team state?
Man.
Well, and I'll give you a hint. They did not win most points ever scored, and they did not win team state this year, that year.
Did we win individual state that year? Did we win we have the most points there?
I do not know that.
You don't know it. Okay.
No.
Oh, I'm guessing either 13 or 8. I'm going to go with the 13 crew.
Coach?
Dang. I got to look back at the numbers on the wall here. Oh, my. Well, I know the 4 years we won individual. It was 8, 15, 23,
24. Dang it.
I'm going to go 2015.
I'm texting my source. Just, you can probably guess who it is. No, it was 2020. You scored 109.5 points. 2020.
Yeah, we had three in the finals. Jaden won. Well, he probably won 6 matches to come back for third place. So, okay. I can live with that. Yep. Two champs, a runner up, a third. And there were some kickers too that won matches.
2020. It was
2020. Yep.
Wait, is that Jaden? Is that the year Jaden got head thrown by Sammy Smith?
Yep.
All right. I'm wrong, Steve, but I'll take that.
No worry. I thought you were going to get that one, Teague. I thought you'd been all over it. All right. So two questions. This is involving individual state finishing points, but this one's kind of out there, but it's a good challenge. And I know that's why I told you guys it'd be a good challenge for you.
Wait, Steve, you said Kakana won in 2020? Or what was the year that they won the most?
They had the most points. Yep. Did not win it. So.
I got you. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. These last two are not easy questions, and I don't expect you to get them, but we'll see how they go. Division one, last 20 years, right? Last 20 years. What is the average play? So if you say, hey, 1 year you took first, 1 year you took 18th, next year you took, out of all Division one teams at individual state, what is the average finish for Kakana?
At individual?
Individual state, yep.
I'm gonna go. Do you have like a, so can I guess like 3.7 or something?
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. I'm gonna say 4.2.
4.2. Jeff, you got a guess?
This is like, you know, the price is right now. I'm gonna say 4.3.
Oh,
yeah. Well, here's what I kid you not. I told myself, well, if they get within a point, I will give it to them. So I'm going to give you guys both the point because it is actually 5.15. 5.15. Yeah,
I was going to say, if you're giving us round numbers, I was going to say probably fifth, because there's years you're eighth or 10th, you know, or ninth, you know, you just, so now you never make that up.
Yeah. Nice job, Teague. Hey, there you go. I'll give it to you. This one's even harder. I'll give it to you. Take all the divisions, 1, 2, and 3, average finish. And I'll even give you guys, if you get it within 2 points, I'll give it to you. Average finish within all divisions the last 20 years.
Oh, that was just division one on the last one. Wow. I got really lucky.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. So it is lower. It's not as good, right?
Oh,
so
God, yeah. It's going to be probably.
I'm going to guess 13.8.
Okay. I'm going to guess maybe a little bit. I'll go under you this time, and I'll say because you're going within a point, right?
So I'm giving you guys within 2 points.
Oh, within two. So I'll just say, let's go like 12th.
You know, Teague, I'm very impressed, buddy. It's 13.25, and you said 13.8. So that's that's pretty darn good, man. Nice job. There's no way. I'm like, if you had asked me that, I'd have been like, 40th. I don't know. You know,
Steve, how much time did you put in on that trip? Well, that's a lot.
I gotta cite my source. This is where you know good people. You can only imagine who I reached out to. And I got to give credit where credit's due. I told him, he told me not to. He said, you don't have to do that. But I reached out to Zach. I said, hey, listen, we've had Jeff on 4 years in a row. I need some good stuff. That's where he gave me the story. But he did tell me, he goes, he didn't come up with the story of you shaving your head. That actually came from Steve McDaniel. So
okay.
Steve McDaniel even got into tonight's podcast.
Yeah, you got to go back in time on that one.
Yeah. So, hey, I'm impressed. Great job. The trivia, I don't really come up with all my trivia questions. I just know a lot of good people around the state, and I tell them, I say, hey, give me some good stuff. And it comes out. But you guys, man, I really – so, T, you were 3 out of 5, and, Coach, I think you got all of them, didn't you? 5 out of 5?
Basically, yeah.
I better. But that's a shot in the dark on that last question. Like, it could have been anywhere from 10 to 15, I suppose.
Right on.
I don't know.
Well, Jeff, I apologize, for one, that I did not do it an hour 15 like I said we would. But I think we had a lot of fun tonight. I personally had a lot of fun. I know Steve-O had a lot of fun.
I loved it. And here's the thing, Teague. I'm going to have to go back and check this. I think every time we've been on a podcast while a Brewer game has been playing, they have won.
It's good. That's real good. Keep it going. No. Yeah, and you talk about the team, and that's the thing. I just like talking wrestling, you know, just – the state of wrestling. You got the NIL going, you got the competitive balance going, you got conference restructuring, high school sports, you know, there's a lot going on. It's going to be a crazy election year. And it's, you just mix all this stuff into it. And it's like, I like talking about, you know, wrestling and too about like training and just how like clubs have gone different. Like there's a different vibe in high school rooms right now, and how the clubs have affected that, both good and bad. It's mostly good, but for wrestling, obviously, but like holding team dynamics together is a little different now. And you just see the landscape of wrestling really changing. And I close with our basketball coach and our other coaches too. And you see that. So, you know, there's the team side, but I really, the wrestling stuff is it's interesting. It's fun to talk about.
Hey, you kind of brought up our message. We just like to talk wrestling. So,
that's right.
Yeah. Jeff, thanks again for coming on. Maybe we'll have you on again at this point next year. We'll see. A lot of things to happen before then, but always a pleasure having you on. As for Steve and myself, we are going to have a 4-timer on next. Don't know who it is yet because we fly by the seat of our pants in the spring. So, We'll figure it out at some juncture. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you once again, Jeff. And until next time, we will catch you on the flip side.